Parshas Tetzaveh presents us with a very rich mix. I'd like to spend a few minutes looking at the often forgotten second half of the Parsha. Lots of times we think that Truma is Bina Mishkan, and Tetzaveh is Big Day Kahuna. So that's partially true. Truma is fully about Asiyas HaMishkan, both the structure and the Kalim. Kalim first, structure second. That's the way they're presented in Truma. Tetzaveh is, much of it is about the Big Day Kahuna at length for the first three Aliyos. And you have the first couple of psukim about the Shemen Zayas that's used for the Hadlakas HaMenorah. And then what appears in the Chumash is Perek Chavches, which is the rebalance of the Rishon, Sheni, and Shlishi, is all about the Big Day Kahuna. But then the rest of the Parsha moves into other issues. The very end, Perek Lamed, you have the Mizbeach HaKetores, which is curious that I got left to the end. I don't know if we're going to take a look at that Ramban. Ramban does work on how come Mizbeach HaKetores didn't appear in Truma with the rest of them. But most of the second half of Tetzaveh, Revi, Chemishi, and Shishi, Perek Chavtes, moves on to the mitzvah of Miluim. The mitzvah, the special karbanos, the whole avodas hamiluim that was going to induct the kohanim into being kohanim, and that they get to carry out in the week that precedes Rosh Chodesh Nisan. They're being told about this probably in Tishrei, maybe in Cheshvan. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu just came down from Har Sinai a third time and teaches them Truma. Maybe he taught them to Tzava right away as well. This is going to be put into practice 5 months or so later, the end of Chodesh Adar. The man gets put into practice. Very, very fascinating demon. Really different karbon. Talks about the psukim in the course of Perek Chavtes. Talk about the way they needed to put on the Big Day Kahuna, and they needed to engage in a whole slew of unique types of karbanos. The karbanos that in many ways don't fit the normal categories of a typical ola or a typical chattas or a typical shlamim. Sort of interesting combinations that seemed to have, at least some of them, were Harua Shah, a special one-time tzivoy for the Meilun. As a matter of fact, there's a Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvahs. Part of what he does is, of course, Sefer HaMitzvahs, in addition to enumerating, laying out how he thinks mitzvahs should be counted, he also spends a fair amount of time attacking the last count, which was done by the Bahag, the Baal Lachas Gedolos, who the Rambam saw as being very unmethodical. See, he attacks him, you know, on many, many details, and also there's overall critique of the Rambam to the Bahag that he's just being so unmethodical, it seems so haphazard. Ramban wrote Hasagas. Ramban did not write Hasagas on Rambam's Mishneh Torah, the Raiva did that, but the Ramban did write Hasagas on the Rambam's Sefer HaMitzvahs, and one of his major goals is to defend the Bahag. And he sometimes won't even necessarily agree with the Bahag, but he'll point out that the Bahag is a defensible position you have to take seriously, to stand up for the covet of the Gaonim. So this is one of the interesting issues that the Bahag, with Rambam, starts Sefer HaMitzvahs with a list of criteria. He wants to do it as methodically as possible. It doesn't just start by counting mitzvahs. It begins with 14 criteria, 14 sharashim, which define what constitutes a mitzvah. There are thousands, maybe tens, hundreds of thousands of dinim. Clearly not every din is a mitzvah, the only Tariq mitzvahs. So Rabbi works out what are the criteria by which you decide whether something is counted or not, whether you count something as one or several different pieces. So rule number three for the Rambam, you don't count Haras Shah. You don't care. If something was a temporary mitzvah, that's not a mitzvah. That was just a temporary instruction. To wave, Rabbi Moshe Rabbeinu was told, take your matah and wave it over the Yamsuf, and you're going to split the Yamsuf. So let's say you found matah Moshe. And you take matah Moshe, and you figure out where they were staying at the Yamsuf, and you find the matah, and you go to the Yamsuf, and you wave the matah. You're a mitzvah? No. Let's say the Yom Sof splits. That's very impressive. You're probably means you're a big tzaddik. But it's still no mitzvah. Because that was not a permanent mitzvah. That was just a one-time haro hashah, one-time rule for Moshe Rabbeinu. That doesn't get counted as a mitzvah. Let's say the halachas of the mon. There were a fair amount of halachas of the mon. But how much you collect, and how do you figure out, and how many... But for whom are you collecting? There were probably a fair amount of details you had to work through, but those are not, but there's no mitzvah of collecting man. Even if man would start falling again from the sky, there'll be no chiyuvim, no yisurim. Those were temporary dinim. Tariag mitzvahs apply forever. Even the most of Mashiach, they might practically, certain things we can't do because we don't have the conditions for it. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Okay? So there are lots of mitzvahs we cannot do. Look, if you live in Siberia, you don't have access to Lulav and Esrog. So you can't do the mitzvah of Arba Minim either, but it doesn't mean that the mitzvah doesn't exist. The mitzvah exists. The mitzvah is in force. I can't fulfill it. And there are certain mitzvahs that don't apply to everyone also. If you're a Levi, you have nothing to do with Pinyan Ben. Right? You're neither the receiver nor the giver of the Pinyan Ben money. Okay, it doesn't mean it's not one of the mitzvahs. It's a mitzvah. It doesn't apply. Only applies under certain circumstances. If you never hire an employee, you will never have a mitzvah to pay your employee on time. Of course, if you walk into a barbershop or grab a cab, could have the opportunity to mekayim that mitzvah of Yom Titan Sarum right there. I think it's Menashe's barbershop on Rehov Meir Sharam, not to be confused with Avner's barbershop. I think Misperet Menashe is a big poster up on the wall talking about all the mitzvahs you could fulfill in a barbershop. I think there are like 11. I think 11, 8 or 11. Obviously, some of them have to do with some of them are yisurim that you avoid, like not cutting off your payas and not getting a haircut. That would be a violation of chukas akum. But some of them are mitzvahs asay. One of which I think is biyom titan schara. Pay me on time, and you will have fulfilled a mitzvah daraisa. It's a pretty solid pitch, and he's absolutely right. Absolutely, especially if you hold mitzvah shrichas kavana, it would be a crying shame to have done the mitzvah but not be mekayim anything because you weren't aware, you weren't cognizant of the fact, and you didn't intend to fulfill mitzvah Hashem when you paid your barber, when you paid your cab driver, when you pay whichever employee, or if you run a business, and you have employees, and you pay them on a regular basis, you pay them on time, that's a mitzvah daris, right? Okay, so many mitzvahs don't apply at all times. They may only apply under certain circumstances, but fundamentally, the Tariq mitzvahs are eternal mitzvahs. They may be contingent on particular circumstances, particular items, but the mitzvahs exist forever. Unlike, waving your matzah over the Yom Sof, unlike mitzvahs and averis have to do with the mon collection, those are haras shah, those are temporary, and they're therefore not mitzvahs. And the Rambam is very upset that the Baha counted several things which he sees as haras shah. I believe one of them is miluim. Rambam says miluim, haras shah. I believe it's Ramban there who writes. We'll take a look at Ramban here in a moment. I believe Ramban there writes, there may be aspects of it, could be the details of Harasha, the specific types of carbons that they brought, and the permutations of this bread and that, and this carbon, this animal and that bread, the details may have been Harasha, but at the same time, the concept of this parsha, of Parakhav Test of Shemos, the second half of Tetzaveh, is eternal. The notion that you have to celebrate the building of a new mikdash, that's something that you find throughout Jewish history. The Shlomo HaMelech has a special seven-day celebration, which included Yom Kippur, when they built the first Beis HaMikdash. Ezra has this, Ezra Nehemiah, you hear about the special celebration they organized at the time that they put together the second Beis HaMikdash. I believe Yechezkel describes what's going to happen. I think it talks about 6 months of celebration when the third Beit HaMikdash will be constructed. That may also have to do with Megillas Tanis, the notion of on a miniature level to celebrate steps towards the Mikdash or enhancements of Mikdash. That's a topic we'll pick up further as Chodesh Iyar draws closer, because then may the Perikhav Tes of Shmos, the second half of Tetzaveh, may form the conceptual framework for understanding Chanukah and Purim and the rest of Megillas Tanis and Yom HaTzmaut and Yom Yerushalayim as well, Yom HaTzmaut in particular. So there's a lot going on here that we often tend to ignore. Let's take a look at the Psukim, and let's take a look at the one or two comments of the Ramban as well. Take a look at Pasuk Lamed Aleph if you have it in front of you. Pasuk Chav Zayin was talking about, you have this Kachshim Kalim, you have this El HaMiluim, a type of a Shlomim. So when you have a Kachshim Kalim, you have the more holy karbanos are eaten only by the Kohanim at the Beis HaMikdash. They're like the Chatas and the Asham and the Mincha. All it doesn't get eaten at all. The less holy karbanos, the Shlomim, the Karban Pesach, every Jew can eat. And you can eat throughout Yerushalayim. Right? The thing of Karban Pesach. Right? Karban Pesach is a Kachshim Kalim. And you don't have to be a Kohen to eat it, and you're not eating the Beis HaMikdash. All throughout Yerushalayim, Seder night, you have Jews throughout Yerushalayim eating Karban Pesach. But often, by Karban Pesach, this is not the case, but by most Kachshim Kalim, there is a piece that goes to the Kohanim. So you see that, for instance, you give this, Pasuk gets cut off, Pasuk Chav Zayin says, the Chaz of Ashok, part of the chest and one of the arms, goes to the Kohen, and then the end of that Pasuk is here. It goes, Me'asher la'aron, Me'asher la'banav. That goes to the Kohanim. Pasuk Chavches, Vayol Aaron ulbanav l'chok olam. That goes to Aaron and his children forever. You bring a carbon shlamim, Chaz v'shok goes to Kohanim. That's Matnas Kohuna. You don't give him the whole animal the way you do by Kacha Kachim. If you bring a chatzis, you bring an asham, the whole thing is eaten by the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Azar. It's like almost like a part of the Avodah. The male Kohanim eating it in the Azar. The Gemara says it's by Kachshei Kachshim, it's a part of the Kapara. Kachshim Kalam Ashlamim, not that way. But, this is a din, a chak olam. What does the chak olam mean? It's a din forever. This is not a harasha, the Pasuk says. This is forever after. You bring Kachshei, you bring Ashlamim. This goes to Aaron and his children. It's going to go to the Kohanim. Eis b'nei Yisrael ki trumahi. This is the part that gets set aside. Trumahi me'eis b'nei Yisrael mizivchei shalmehem trumasam l'Hashem. This is why you brought a carbon shlamim, which is your classic kachshei kalim. The carbon shlamim you get to eat yourself, but there's a piece of it that's matnas kohuna. Obviously, a part of it gets burnt on his bed, and a part of it gets given to the Kohanim as well. That is a chak olam. And then the pesukim continue. Pasuk Chavtes, he's going to wear the Big Day Kuhuna. Big Day Kodesh, Sher Aaron, Yulav Anav Acharav. This isn't a one-time thing, the Big Day Kuhuna. Don't think it's just Aaron, Nadav Avir, Lazar Yisamar. No, this is going to get passed on forever. L'mashchavahem, L'malei Bamas Yadam. This is going to make them Kohanim. And now the Psukim start talking about the fact that you're going to wear Big Day Kuhuna forever, this makes you Kohanim. Here the Psukim come to turn to these 7 days. Take a look, please, inside. Here we're going to come to our first Ramban. Shivasamim Pasig Lam. Shivasamim Bosham HaKohen Taktav Yivanam. Asher Yavoa Olam Oed L'Shareitz BaKodesh. You have to wear these, because we're wearing these Big Day Kuhuna. For 7 days. Now the 7 days means, 7 days means these Kohanim right now are going to go through Shiva Simei Miluim. Rashi indicates it could be that forever after you want to become a Kohen Gadol, you can be wearing the Big Tikkun for 7 days consecutively. Not, they can't go to sleep. And then, Es El HaMiluim Tikach Uvishaltos B'Sero B'Makom Kadosh. Take the El HaMiluim, and you should cook it in a holy place, in the Azar. The Ochal Aaron of Anav is Bisar Ha'ayam. The Kohanim are going to eat it. Well, who's cooking it? Who's cooking it? Moshe Rabbeinu. Wow, we didn't know we knew Moshe Rabbeinu had many, many, many extraordinary qualities, many, many unique, singular qualities. We did not know, and we know that Moshe did many jobs over the course of his life. Right? Moshe was the leader of Klal Yisrael. Early in his life, he was a shepherd. Who knew that he was a gourmet chef? Uvishalta, es b'sar abim akam kadosh. So Ramban says, what does that mean? You take a look at Ramban on the other side of the page. Pasuk Lamed Aleph. What does that mean? Lo yodanum harua shahi. We don't know what this pasuk means. Is that harua shah? Shehe besar miluim ton kohen bibishulo. What does it mean? You're supposed to do it. In Moshe Rabbeinu, as the Gemara says in Zvacha, I assume that he means, he says, maybe it means that you needed a Kohen. Now, Moshe is not a Kohen, but except that he was. Gemara Zvacha talks about Moshe Rabbeinu as being sort of an honorary Kohen, particularly during this period of time, and maybe Gemara suggests that maybe for the rest of his life, because initially the Kohan weren't yet inducted, and Moshe was serving as a Kohen during the Shivas Minyan Bluim, and he sort of... It was sort of bringing them in. The Gemara has a discussion. It might be that for the rest of his life, Moshe was sort of like an honorary Kohen who wouldn't wear big day kahuna, but had other special clothing he would wear to do avos hakarbonos if he so chose. A unique sort of a harua shah category. So he says, is that what the pasuk is saying? That Moshe, I assume that when he says Kohen, he means Moshe? Because you're going to cook it. You don't usually find that, din. It's not the Bishul HaBasar is not part of the Avodas HaKarbanos. To catch the blood, you need a Kohen. To spring the blood on the Mizbeach, you need a Kohen. To put the pieces of the carbon on the Mizbeach to burn, you need a Kohen. To eat the Karbanos, especially if it's Kachay Kachim, as I said before, you need a Kohen. That's actually a pasta coming up a couple sukim further. But to cook the meat, that's interesting. So the Rabban says, I'm not sure. Maybe that's part of the Harua Shah. There are, like we talked about before, there are many aspects of the Miluim that were unique and one-time singularities. Harua Shah. So maybe this is one of them, that Moshe Rabbeinu himself had to cook the meat. Oh! Oh, yeah, uvi shalta b'tzivoy. Or maybe it's a tzivoy. What do you mean a tzivoy? Obviously it's a tzivoy. You've been told to do it. I mean, tzivoy. Right, tzivoy meaning mitzvah. He's using the same terminology that Rambam uses, although he takes issue with Rambam's details. He uses Rambam's principle that mitzvah means nah harasha. Mitzvah means ladoros. It's a Rashi at the beginning of Parshat Tzav. Rashi says the term Tzav, Tzav is Israel, is zeros miyad ladoros. It's to give you energy to get going, but it also means that mitzvah means it's forever. So that's the language he's using. Is it a rasha? Or is it a tzivoy? If it's a tzivoy, what do you mean? No, we never found such a din masaf as zvachim that the kohen has to cook it. So he says, if it's not a rasha, maybe you need to have grammatical sensitivity. Maybe you have to be more nuanced in the way you appreciate biblical Hebrew. Kama umatcha asher hikisa bo es hayar. The stick with which you hit the yar. Vayiven Shlomo es hamizbeach. Shlomo es habayis. Shlomo built the Beis Hamikdash. Kedibri Rabbi Avram, as Ibn Ezra writes. What on earth does that mean? Right. Now, if you read the Ramban, just straight, the way I did the first time I took a look at it, it's very confusing. He says, I'm not sure it's a Rasha, or it's a real Tzivui, like the following two examples of Tzivuyim, presumably. The stick with which you hit the R, how is that Tzivui? Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash. How is that? See, those aren't tzivuyim. Those are descriptions of past events. You hit the yar with a stick, and Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash. That's not a commandment at all. If you read the Ramban quickly, you're not really sure. Sometimes people make the mistake of ignoring the source texts, ignoring the pasuk name of words. Like, yeah, whatever. Like sometimes people do that with learning Rashi on Torah. You quote the pasuk. Just pasukim. Pass for Shlomo. Just pasukim. Like they're pasukim, like from God. We should care about them. And if Atana or Moro Rishon is quoting them, he probably has a good reason for quoting them. And so what's going on here? It's a tzivoy like the two psukim which are not tzivoy. Okay. So the answer is what the people say, which is, the point is not to prove that there's something called an imperative in Hebrew. The point is, as you guys said before, when he said, either way it's a tzivoy, this pasuk is a tzivoy, this pasuk is instruction. Uvi shalta, cook the meat. The makom kadosh, absolutely it's an instruction. The question is, what type of instruction is it? Is it harasha, this one-time unique instructions that were only temporary, that just last the course of the milim? Or is this a permanent din? If it's a permanent din, the problem is, but we've never heard of such a permanent din. There's a, he's skipping a step here.
The point is, maybe it's a tzivoy, but you should read it the way you read umatzma shekis basayar, but even shomus on his be'ah as this habayis. Not that those are tzivoyim. The point is, as Akiva said, those are two examples of what Hakadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, that stick that you use to hit the river. Now, everyone knows that you learn when you're little. The comment that Rashi has from Chazal, who hit the river? Right, Moshe never hit the river. Of course, I know, he didn't hit the river. So what do you mean that Mati used to hit the river? Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash. I don't think that Shlomo hit the Pesukim in Malachim go on and on. But the staff, he hired armies of staff to build the Beis HaMikdash. He had armies of carpenters and stone workers. He had no pun intended, young man. Very clever. He had such a vast array of personnel who were working on the Beis HaMikdash, but he wasn't doing the building himself.
So what's Ramban saying? Elamai, see from the two psukim, if I'm the CEO of the project, Shlomo built the Beis, we would say Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash. He didn't like, he might not have been there with his hands actually spreading the cement on the bricks, but he built the Beis HaMikdash. Because he managed the project, and he, good management, good leadership, is organizing people to buy into a project, and everyone works on it, and you have the vision to see how all the pieces fit together, you get it done. Just because he didn't do it with his own hands doesn't mean he didn't get it done. But even Shlomo is habayis. Absolutely, Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash. Not with his fingers, but he built it. He led the project. He made it happen. You hit the Ya'ar with a stick. Not that Moshe himself did the hitting, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe about it, and Moshe had Aaron do it. So Moshe was the leader who got it done, even though he wasn't hands-on. So what's Ramban saying? He's, again, in classic Ramban al-Torah fashion, he gave it's even more than classic, right? Not only is he giving the teretz to the kasha he didn't make explicit, even the teretz is not explicit. The kasha and teretz are both implied. It's a tzivoy. A problem if it's a tzivoy, but it's not true. You don't always have the kohen cook the meat. The answer is, ubi shalta, it's not basar makam kadosh. You should cook the meat. It doesn't mean Moshe himself had to do it. It means make sure to get it done. Have it done. But that's taka true. Ladoros, someone has to cook it. You're not supposed to eat it raw. That's actually, the Gemara discusses in Zvachim and in Chulin, that terminology that we had earlier as well on the page, lemashcha, the notion of lemashcha, that comes up more than once in Chumash, actually it's a previous Ramban on the Torah, talks about, what does lemashcha mean here? Does it mean literally that they were pouring oil, it's a reference to the fact they poured oil, shemen ha-mishcha, on the Kohanim to make them kadosh? Or lemashcha is a way of saying that they were, it is true that oil is poured in them, but maybe this means more generally, Lugadula. It means that they were exalted people. So when you eat, the Gemara derives from a different time that the Chumash mentions Lamashcha. That the Matnas Kahuna have to be eaten in a classy way. It has to be Lamashcha Lugadula, Kedarav Shem Malachim Ochlam. You don't eat it like it's junk. You don't make it into hot dogs and make it into fancy sausage. You can't just make it. You don't make the basar karbanos into salami. It has to be. Yeah. You grill it well. Tosis actually has a stira. Well, did we ever talk about this? Tosis has a fascinating stira. This is a good barbecue tire. Tosis has a stira between Zvachim and Chulin. Whether we never spoke about this? Oh. Tosis has a stira between Zvachim and Chulin. Whether you're supposed to eat it. In one place, Tanam talk about, you eat it how Cohen eats, however he likes it most. And the other part, different people have different tastes. Whichever presentation of meat you like the most, some people like it boiled, maybe some people want to put it in chalent, some people want to fry their steak, some people want to dry grill their steak. You know, there are different ways to handle your meat. Different people have different tastes. You might like it rare, maybe I like it medium well done, whatever it is. So there's a steer between Zvachim and Chulin, whether it's whatever the Cohen prefers most, or there's a specific recipe butzli uvacharadol, grilled with mustard. So he says, which one is it? Not everyone prefers grilled with mustard. Looking around the room, it seems like several people would be glad to eat steak, particularly holy steak, grilled with mustard. But some people might have other preferences. That's fine. So which one is it? The Tosfos says, very fascinating, Tosfos says they're both true. It depends. If you have a preference, then you have a preference. If you don't have a preference, then the default, the fallback, is sli uvacharadol, which, by the way, l'chora means, if you process that a little bit, l'chora that means that there's an objective, from the point of view, halachically speaking, there's an objective best way to eat meat. The objective best way to eat meat, it's sli uvacharadol. But subjective preference can trump that. So if there's a particular subjective preference, we go to the subjective preference. You happen to like it boiled, you happen to like it stewed, or you happen to like it with ketchup instead. Okay, so that's what you like. Okay, so you're entitled to your preferences. But whenever there's no particular preference, the guy says, you know, it's all good. I like it lots of different ways. So then the fallback is the underlying default is the object. What from the point of view of halacha, the objective best way to eat meat is tzli uvacharadol, grilled with mustard. So that's an important Torah techazer at a barbecue for obvious reasons. No more because you don't want your shulchan to be a shulchan shlo amar of divrei Torah, and because it's mamash the main yan of a barbecue. And also, coming back here, speaks to the notion of lemashcha as this, that which again, the previous pasuk had mentioned also, that the manas kahuna have to be, in sour karbanos have to be consumed in a classy way. It has to be a beautiful presentation. It has to be the most enjoyable presentation. So obviously you go to the dead, which is why the Ramban says, Uvi shalta is a tzivui. It has to be cooked. You don't need sour karbanos raw. Chas v'shalom, eat it raw. That's a severe violation of lamashcha, unless it's steak tartare. Even that's not mamish raw. Of course you're going to cook it. That is a din l'doros. Not you cook it, literally the Moshe or l'doros, the Kohen has to cook it himself, but you have to see to it that it gets done. So that's what the Ramban presumably is driving. Again, that otherwise very enigmatic line. Either it's Harosh Shah, the Kohen himself has to cook it, or it's a tzivui, like those two psukim. Matcha Sher Kizbo Sayar, Vimishlom Samizbeach, Kedivri Rabbi Avram, which in other words is saying, speaking to this idea that some sort of cooking by someone is Ladaros, and speaking to this idea, which is a larger, hashkafically important idea, to recognize that sometimes you can get stuff done yourself, and sometimes the best way to get stuff done is by organizing other people around a project. And if you see a need, and you get it done by organizing people around a project, that's your leadership, and that's your mitzvah, and that's your accomplishment. That's what the Gemara says, Gadol ha-ma'asa yoser min ha-osa. In a more narrow sense, the Gemara says, sometimes if a fundraiser needs to convince a philanthropist to donate money for tzedakah, so the fellow who wrote the check gets a mitzvah for having funded whatever the need was. But it could be that the fundraiser gets Gadol ha-ma'asa, the one who gets it, who causes it to be done, is sometimes even greater than someone who actually does it. You had the vision, so you saw, this is what needs to happen, and I'm going to, you know, get all the players in place, and we'll make this happen, as opposed to this other person who wasn't really excited about it, but it wasn't, you know, he got convinced to do it, so he still gets his chos, but the ma'as is even greater. So that's sort of the hashkafic significance of this grammatical point. And then he says, the fact that b'makom kadosh, why is it b'makom kadosh? The Makom Kadosh sounds like it's in the Beis HaMikdash. He says, yeah, it's in the Beis HaMikdash because this isn't a regular carbon shlamin, which would be a kachem kalim. This is Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur. They're the same as this is a shlamim shel tzibur. Usually only have a shlamim shel tzibur once a year. On which Yom Tov? The Yom Tov of Shavuot. It's very good. Together with the Shtei HaLechem. But if you say Ezel Makom, you talk about it every single day. Or if you say one or two Mishnayos a day, you talk about it every single week. the carbon shlamim is brought by the tzibur has the status of kachay kachim. Ledoros is only once a year, but this one he says also was is like the same thing. Also zivchei shalmei tzibur and is eaten lefnim and aklam liyom v'layla ad chatzos is eaten. And what the difference between kachay kachim and kachim kalam is that kachay kachim is eaten in the Beis Hamikdash. And as I mentioned before, the two psukim later. Pasuk Lama Gimel, right in front of you. Achlu osam asher kupar bohem. And they eat it. That, who have had kapara through it, which is an incredibly awkwardly phrased pasuk. And Chazal say there's a reason why, like there's everything else in Chumash, there's an extraordinarily good reason why that pasuk is awkwardly phrased, because that way you have more layers of meaning. And as I mentioned before, Gemara Zvachim says, Vachlu osam asher kupar bohem means they eat it, and they create kapara. Kohanim ochlim, ubalim miskaprim. This case is sort of being brought, in a sense, by the Kohanim themselves, or by the Tzibur. Whenever you bring kachay kachim, as Ramban just told us, this is an example of kachay kachim, the reason why it's only eaten by Kohanim, and specifically only by male Kohanim, and only in the Beis HaMikdash itself, that's the same rules you would have of a person in place, the same limitations you would have for the avoda on the carbon, for the catching the blood and sprinkling the blood and burning the karbanos. It has to be done by zichrei kuhuna in the azara. The Gemara says, and the reason why is because v'achlu osam asher kupar behem, because kohanim ochlim ubalim miskaprin. That by kachay kachim, the achilas hakarbanos itself is a part of the kapar. The chiz of karbanos itself is another one of the non-essential avodos. The carbon is kosher even if you don't burn the emurim and the mizbeach. The carbon is kosher if you don't eat the meat. But if you burn the emurim and the mizbeach, that's an additional avoda of the carbon. And if you kohanim eat the basar kachay kachim in the azara, that's an additional part of the avodas hakarbanos. Unlike carbon pesach or carbon shlamim, unlike the kachay kalim, the kachay kachim, the achila, is itself part of the avodas hakarbon, and that's why only zichrei kuhuna and only in the azara. Yossi Dietz, you have been waiting so patiently. Thank you. That's a great question. There is a din daraisa of l'mashal l'gdul k'yash ha'malachim ochel. In fact, it needs to be in an ideal gourmet format. That is a din daraisa. But for where did it come? Where did Chazal get it from? That's sli of v'chadah. You're asking like, is that like, wow, halacha moshe m'sinai?
My follow-up question
would
be, because if it's objectively better for some reason, then just because I like it a different way, then why?
Yeah, that's an interesting point. So that you might find elsewhere also. There is a machlokas hatanaim, not necessarily the same, but definitely parallel concept in brachas. It's somewhat more familiar territory. Let's say you really like oranges. You're okay with grapes. Right? They both bar up your haetz. So if you're having grapes, you really like bananas, you're okay with grapes, you're going to make a haetz on the grape, a hadam on the banana, and you're done. But let's say you really like oranges, and you're also planning to eat some grapes. But like oranges, you're really excited. You haven't had an orange in a while, it's really good. A pomelo. You're really excited to have a pomelo. To make sure the pomelo is not tevel. Okay. Sometimes pomelo, sometimes grown Eretz Yisrael. You know what pomelo is? You know what pomelo is?
I don't know. I'm going to guess.
Are we on culture, Rabbi?
Toru mada matahelea. Well.
Rabbi, it's good to spend more time with the Torah.
A pomelo. Pomelos are citrus fruits, even larger than grapefruits, and sweeter. They look like grapefruits, are even bigger, and they're sweeter.
What
color?
That's not saying.
Yellowish. True.
Is that like a conjunction of a word?
P-O-M-M-E-L-O-O.
It sounds like
it's a conjunction of the word pomel and the word
neither of those two words are words.
Yo, I'm going to call this a pomel.
Time out.
So you have a pomelo for this. You're so excited to eat a pomelo. It's the first time in your life. You heard all about it. You got to peel it, the whole mahala, the whole malacha, how you peel it, get it, the edible part. And there are grapes. You like grapes too. Yeah. Red grapes have all sorts of heart healthy flavonoids. And you like the way they taste. But you know, pomelo. And grapes. You're only obviously going to make one bracha, ha'eitz, on the two of them. So the question is, which one do you make the bracha? Over which one do you make the bracha? And we see that the Tanam seem to all agree that we see the first food, the first bit of food that you eat and make that eat after the bracha, it's not just that's the first thing you happen to eat. We see that as like the chefta shal mitzvah. And you're making the bracha, without getting into too much in the world of the Hilchos brachas, it's almost as though the bracha is chal, perhaps more on the first food than anything else. And certainly that's sort of like the chefta shal mitzvah. We certainly see a hidur in saying the bracha over the better food. I say that in the world of Hamotzi, we prefer that you have a choice between a slice and a loaf, better to say the bracha on a loaf. You have a choice between a bigger roll and a smaller roll, better to make a bracha on a bigger roll. It's not that I want to have the biggest chocolate chip cookie, just whatever. So the question is, the pomelo and the grape, which one do you make a bracha on?
Grape.
So the truth is, it's machlokas. I believe you're right, lahalacha. And it's machlokas hatanoim, the Mishnah in brachas, why the grape? Shevas Aminim. So I believe, if I remember correctly, it's machlokas chacham and Yehuda. Whether chaviv adif? Everyone agrees that there's preference given to that which you like more. Everyone agrees that there's preference given to Shevas Aminim. When those two factors collide, so then the question is, what's the hierarchy? Which one takes precedence? That I believe is Machlokas HaTanam. And it does, Yasi, speak somewhat to this issue also. But you do see that notion of personal preference definitely plays a role. Whether it's Tzliva Chayr Halacha Moshmi Sinai, or it's a determination that Chazal made based on just looking around at what was common, I'm not sure about. That's a good question. I got to learn the sugya. It's a very good question. That is a very good question. I want to briefly see one more Ramban, and then we're going to head to the Beis HaMedrash. Take a look at the final psukim in this parak. You have it in front of you, the very end of Shishi, very end of Parak Chavtes. After we've spoken about how all the milum are going to come together, and the Aliyah of Shishi focuses on the first time the Torah speaks about the Karban Tamid. Karban Tamid comes again in Parshas Pinchas, and then the Psukim wrap up. No aditi shamal of neis of nikdash bechvodi. Kadosh Baruch says, "I'm going to meet with Klal Yisrael at this Pesach Oel Moed. I'm going to meet with Klal Yisrael at the Mishkan." The Kiddush is Oel Moed, I'm a Mekadosh Oel Moed, the Mizbech Mekadosh Aaron and his children. V'shachanti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. And I plan to dwell amongst Klal Yisrael. This goes back to obviously the beginning of Parshas Truma. V'hayisil ha'melohim. And this is going to, as Ramban, we saw Ramban last week, this is going to cement the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. V'yodu'u ki ani Hashem Elokeihem. They will know that I am Hashem, their Elohim, who I took them out of Mitzrayim, lishachni b'socham, ani Hashem Elokeihem. That sounds like a very important phrase. Like this is in many ways, sort of the climax of the whole picture of making a Mishkan and be Mekadosh Kohanim, which we just wrapped up over the last few psukim. Right, that summary in Pasuk Mem Dalet clearly is wrapping up, capping off all of Truma Tetzaveh. The Mizbech HaKetoros to come is like an appendix. But the basic flow is complete at this point. It's interesting that Karban Tamid was a part of it. Something to think about. But then we climax of all of this structure of Mizbeach, Mishkan, Kohanim, all for the purpose of Klal Yisrael will know that I'm Ribono Shel Olam, who took them out of Mitzrayim, l'shachni b'socham. What are we supposed to know? Hashem took us out. What does that mean? L'shachni b'socham. Lishachni b'socham. So Ramban, take a look at Pasuk Mem Vav. Perek Chav Tes, Pasuk Mem Vav. You have it in front of you. The last piece in Perek Chav Tes. Amanas lishkom b'socham lashon Rashi. Rashi says lishachni means I took you out of Mitzrayim on the condition that so that you could I would dwell among you. Shimush halamed b'tenai kaze eno nimsa. The lamed should be a stipulation. Lamed should be an almanas. That's unusual. For it means on the condition that I took them out of Mitzrayim on the condition that I could live among them. That's lishachni b'socham. Yitachin shiyomar v'yedu bishachni b'socham. Ki ani Hashem Elokeim asher hoteisi osam eretz Yisrael. Here's maybe what it means. Maybe what he's driving at is really that they'll know that I am Hashem. Ani Hashem Elokeim is like going back to the first Aseres HaDibros. They'll know that I took them out of Mitzrayim. How? When they see that there's a Shechina, that's the indication. Ki yedu kvodi. They'll see kvod Hashem. They'll have such a clear awareness, a clear recognition of the reality of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Yaminu sheni yotzeisus. I'm here at Mitzrayim. And then they'll re-strengthen, going back to the conversation you had in circles in this room the other day, they'll see something that will sweep away much doubt. Behu kederech vayhi David l'chol derechav maskil. Ki vavcherata li ven yishai. Al asher merisim espi li meimriva. All those psukim are what? Situations where the lamed really is standing in place of a base. Yishai ki vavcherata biven yishai. You're choosing ben yishai. You transgressed, you rebelled, you ignored me at Memeriva. And all these psukim are using the lamed where it should have been a base. So it sounds like the Ramban is saying, the way to make sense of Rashi perhaps is that the lamed really is a base. So through the Shekhinah, through the Hashras, Hashinah Mishkan, you will come to see, you'll come to know, you'll come to appreciate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. But Rabbi Avraham says no. Rabbi Avraham means Ibn Ezra. Lahotseisios tamei eretz Mitzrayim rak ba'avur ki eshkom b'socham. He says no. It's for this purpose. It's not that the Shechina is a heichatimtza. Not that the Shechina is a tool, a vehicle to get to the ultimate goal, recognize the Kadosh Baruch Hu. No. He says this was the end goal. Hashras Hashina kirvas Elokim v'zehu tavdunas Elokim al ha'har hazeh. That's what Moshe told at the very beginning, before they even leave Mitzrayim. You're going to come back and worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu on this mountain. What do you mean? It means it's going to be HaShuas HaShchina on this mountain. V'yafe pirish, im ken yesh be'inyin sod gadol. Wow. It says this question, it seems like a grammatical question. We sometimes make the mistake of thinking that grammar is, just a grammatical issue. It's a diktik issue. But diktik is a vehicle to appreciate what's going on. There are a lot of big pieces going on here. But prepositions get a bad rap, right? You just don't, prepositions, people usually don't get very excited. Prepositions make trouble for you. Trying to write an essay. Prepositions are, in Hebrew, called milos hayachas. Words that describe the relationship. It's very important. As a sparring lamdanim, you realize that to understand the relationship between different, how different concepts relate to each other, is absolutely critical. So he says, that's the machlokes harishonim. How to interpret these prepositions is a profound machlokes harishonim. What's the relation between the different elements in the pasuk? Is shechina, is bishachni b'socham? It's through Hashem's shechina you'll get to the goal of emuna. Or no, the way Ibn Ezra says it, and the Funoti Shavel writes that the Maral thinks Ibn Rashi himself meant this. We mean that this is the Shechina is not a vehicle, a means to an end. The Hashar Shechina is the goal. That is the end. And he says, that's very profound, says Ramban. So gadol. Now we're going from grammar to Kabbalah. Because he says, we usually think of Shat HaDavar HaShechina B'Yisrael Tzor HaChedim. The Lord Tzor HaGavoa. Wow. He says, usually we assume that Hashar HaShechina was for us. Now, we got to see and understand.
But he says, but who ki'in shamar kasuv Yisrael shebucha espar? It's more than that. What the Ibn Ezra is saying, it seems like the Ramban supports, is there is inherent value in the relation to Kadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. To make a very long story incredibly short, the Ramchal has an entire sefer called Das Tfunos, a beautiful sefer, which is largely a conversation about the last few animamins, about Hashkacha Pratis and Schar Yonash and Mashiach and Tchiras HaMesim. So the most, so to speak, practical of the animamins, the ones that deal with our work in this world, the significance of our work in this world. And one of the big themes he develops is the notion of Gilui HaYichud, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't need to create the universe, but was interested in people coming to appreciate, coming to understand that he's driving everything. And there's deep value in Gilui HaYichud. That sounds like, in different terminology, what the Ramban is saying here. L'shachni b'socham. To have a relation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan for the universe. Not just Hadze be'ashar sashina, so then we'll know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really here. Then we'll do mitzvahs. No. Through the knowing, through doing mitzvahs, you come to Kirvas Elokim. The goal is our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's not a means to an end. That is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to get.